Right, now, the youngsters, you've got your worksheets, but can I ask you just for a minute not to look at your worksheet? Because I've got a quiz, and I'm going to need some help from you guys to answer some of the questions on this quiz. All right? So if you hold fire for a minute, and then you can answer some of the questions on your worksheet later. But just to warn you that during the talk that I'm giving, there will be a time when we're going to need you to put down your worksheet again later and for you to do some more active stuff, a bit like you've just been doing, waving your arms around a bit and moving. So we want to make sure you get plenty fit and that you've got plenty of puff, puff, puff and enough, 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 like we've been singing. So let's just take a moment now. We're going to pray and then I'm going to just do this quiz. So Father God, we thank you that we can join here this morning together and we can praise you and we can worship you and we can thank you that you are our God, you are our defender, and that you are interested in each one of us. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us and help us to hear your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so my quiz. Now, we're talking about a Roman centurion today, so I thought I'd have a bit of a quiz about Roman stuff and to see what you guys know about Roman stuff. So I've got a first picture here. It's a place. Can you identify where this is? Anybody put your hand up? Sorry? Italy. Well, it's got an Italian influence. You're quite right over there. Andy? Rome? No, this isn't Rome. Yes? It's somewhere where Rome captured. Anybody at the front? In England? Yes? It's Bath! And the Romans loved their baths. They built baths wherever they put their land, wherever they conquered, and they conquered a large part of the world, they built baths. And they went to a great deal of effort to make sure they had enough water and good quality water to bathe in. And I don't know, has anybody here been to Bath? Quite a lot of you, yeah. I hope you've all had a bath at some point, you know? But anyway, that's another issue. So, right, the next picture. Is this somewhere else in the Roman Empire? Andy, do you know where this one is?
This is in Rome, but it's like standing where they fight, where the Roman Empire was in. It was like
spectators.
Yes.
Spectators for. Yeah, so it's an arena, and you said it was in Rome. Does anybody know what this arena was called? It's in ancient Rome, you're right. The Colosseum. Well done. Actually, you should get something I forgot for answering that. Who answered the other question about Bath? That was you answered the one about Bath, wasn't it? I forgot these. Have one of those. Have one of those for answering a question about Rome, and you answered that one about the Colosseum, didn't you? So now maybe this will get a few more answers coming out of people. Now they can see I've got chocolates in my hand. Has anybody been to the Colosseum? Yeah. Yeah, I've been to the Colosseum as well. Yeah, okay, quite a few of you. Right, let's have a look at the next picture. Does anybody recognise this location? No, it's not Olympus. No. It's somewhere in the Roman Empire, again, of course. Over here, what do you think it is? Ephesus. It's not Ephesus. It's in a town that is famous for a fictional couple called Romeo and Juliet. Is that a clue for anybody? Verona. It's the arena in Verona. And as you can see, it's still used today. Here we go, Janet. And this is a picture I took, and when we were visiting there, they were setting up for a concert there. So, it was an interesting day in Verona. And the next picture, does anybody recognise this particular construction?
Yes, the Pont du
Gard. A man at the back there with a knowledge of the French country, the Pont du Gard. Who's been to the Pont du Gard? I've been to the Pont du Gard. Is Judy here? You've been to the Pont du Gard. I went with Judy back in 1970-something. I can't remember. Did we walk across? Now, that particular is a fascinating aqueduct. And that was used, I said the Romans like water, they used that to get water from about 30 odd miles away into Nimes, where they had their settlement, because they liked to have a bath. So they especially built this bridge to carry the water across this valley. And the Romans were really good at building bridges. And this bridge, because water has to run downhill, one end is slightly higher than the other, but it's only 1 inch higher at one end than it is the other. And the whole of the aqueduct, from where it's sourced, 30 miles, there's just a drop of about 40 feet over 30 miles. So they're really accurate. They're very, very clever engineers in the way they built things. So that's the Pont du Gard. The next question relates to this particular construction. Does anybody recognise this construction? A Roman construction?
Hadrian's Wall.
Hadrian's Wall, what did you think it was? Hadrian's Wall, there you go, yeah, he got it right. Who else said Hadrian's Wall at the back here? Was that Janice? There we go, Janice. Oh, it's Barbara. Well, you better have one of these, Barbara. Hadrian's Wall. And that, where was that built? Gregory? Between England and Scotland. Yeah, they thought the north of England was far enough, and they didn't want to go into Scotland, did they? Here we go, Barbara. Have one of these. So they built a wall. I'm not sure whether it's to keep the Scots out or whether it was to keep them. Anyway. Anybody been to Hadrian's Wall? Quite a few of you, yeah. Right, does anybody recognise the next picture? Graham recognises it. Neil recognises it. Where is it? It's Silchester. And what was the Roman name for Silchester? Anybody know? Did somebody say Caliber? There we go. Do you want to have one of these? Caliber. Okay, this isn't far away from Reading. So if you've never been, this is really close. You should go. But maybe wait till it gets a bit warmer. The Romans had a settlement right near Reading. Now, have any of you youngsters studied Roman history at school? Yeah, you studied Roman history? My daughter studied Roman history at school. And one day she said, oh, can we go to... It was a bit of a cold day, a bit like today. And she said, can we go to the museum? We've been studying stuff about Rome, and I'd like to go to the Roman Museum, to the museum in town. So she took me into... Well, we went to the museum, and she was showing me around all the different displays. And then a man, one of the curators in there, one of the people who worked there, he obviously heard her and knew that she had quite a lot of information she'd learned from her history class at school. And he said, would you like to come over here? And I'll show you something. So we both went over to the desk. He opened the drawer on the desk and he took out a box. Took the lid off the box. It was full of cotton wool. Lifted the cotton wool back. And there inside, about this big, was a picture. Or not a picture, it was actually a little terracotta oil lamp. Beautiful little lamp that they had discovered at Caliber. And he said to my daughter Katie, hold out your hands. So she held out her hands. And he placed the terracotta lamp in her hands. And he said, can you imagine that nearly 2,000 years ago, a little girl, maybe like you, perhaps a little girl like you, used this lamp to find her way around her house. Katie doesn't remember that, but I remember it. Made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. And she doesn't remember it, but it's amazing to think that all those years ago, that the Romans, they occupied this area here, they also occupied the land of Israel, the Holy Land, where Jesus lived. And that empire enabled the gospel message, the truth of Jesus, to be spread through a wide, wide area. But it's amazing that we have here a history that relates us to what happened to Jesus. And what happened to Jesus, we're going to talk about a little bit more and how he met with this Roman centurion. So if you want to start working on your worksheets, you can. But be aware that there might be some clues up in some of the pictures that you're looking at that help you with the worksheet. You've got a mosaic to colour in, and there's some word searches around the Roman stuff that we've been talking about, or that we will be talking about. and a bit of a root thing. So you can have fun doing that, but you might also want to keep an eye out and an ear out for what we're talking about at the front here. And we're talking about the faith of a centurion. And here's a centurion shield here, an ornate shield, but a genuine Roman centurion shield. And we're going to be thinking about faith. And what does the Bible say about faith? Well, if you look at this next slide, it tells us in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the centurion in our story really demonstrated this faith, this hope of something that he couldn't see, but that he trusted God for. Now, in our song that we had a minute ago, we talked about whether Moses built a bridge over the Red Sea. Now, we're going to have a couple of pictures of bridges here. The Pont du Gard, which we've already looked at. Quite a spectacular construction, considering it was built nearly 2,000 years ago. And then there's the Tacoma Suspension Bridge in the States. Now, if I were to give you a choice of which of the two bridges, a 2,000-year-old bridge to cross, or a modern bridge, built with the latest technology at the time, in the 1950s, which would you choose to cross? Anybody? Come on. Which one would you choose to cross? Now, we have an expert here. Sandy is a bridge, he's a bridge engineer, and he has said he would prefer to cross the aqueduct. I've got a bit of a video clip, which will maybe help you understand, and I'm sure Sandy has seen this, help you understand why that decision would be a very, very wise decision. You have a look at this video. There are different bridges, but it's the type of bridge that you put your faith in, put your trust in, that's important. And in this story that we're going to be looking at today, we see that the centurion puts his trust, he puts his faith in the right place. He puts his trust, he puts his faith in Jesus. The aqueduct bridge might be 2,000 years old. The story of Jesus and his coming into the world is 2,000 years old. But it's still as valuable and as trustworthy today as it ever was. And more so than a lot of ideas and things that, and principles that people have thought about today. Modern ideas. Let's have a look at the passage. We saw the video earlier. We're going to read the passage from Matthew's Gospel. It's slightly different from the video we saw in terms of some of the content, but the whole idea about the centurion coming with his faith is still the same. Let me read this to you. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And to that one I say, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of this kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. Now, Jesus spoke to this man, and this man, as you see, as we understand, is a centurion. Now, you'll see this picture here of some headwear. This is not centurion's headwear. But in the story that we heard in the video earlier, it gave us a clue as to why the elders from the local synagogue came to Jesus and said, "Please, please, will you do this, heal his servant? He's a good man." Because they said that this man, this centurion, was an upstanding pillar of the community. He was a good man. He looked after his servants. He cared for his servant. He cared that his servant was not well and wanted him to be well. He cared for the people in the community. He ensured that there was a new synagogue built. But it wasn't because this man was a good man that he'd done good things for the community, done good things for his servants. It wasn't for that reason that Jesus remarked upon him. It was for his faith that Jesus remarked. And that's important for us to remember too. That when we come to Jesus, it's not our good works that earn our salvation. It's our faith in the work of Jesus. It's our faith in Jesus that does that. And Jesus even remarks about it that he'd not seen faith like that in anybody else. What's quite interesting too is that this man, the centurion, was from outside of the Jewish religion. The Jews thought that the Messiah would be just for them. But no, he was Jesus healing the servant of an outsider, of the invaders, the Romans who had invaded the land. What's this all about? And for us too, maybe we feel as though we're outside, we're not good enough, we're not part of the group that Jesus is interested in us. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus is interested in every single one of us. The centurion recognized something very special about Jesus. He recognized something. Does anybody know what it is he recognized? Well, we're going to do something now that will help you make sure you understand what the centurion recognized that Jesus had. We've got a clip coming up, or we've got a picture coming up here. That's not the one, sorry, I've skipped through that one, sorry. If you go to the next one, this gentleman here. This gentleman is called Reginald Britton in the Coldstream Guards. And he was very good at barking out his commands. And I'm going to ask you if you would also be willing to follow some commands. We're going to play, and if you're doing your worksheet, you might want to stop now because something interesting for you to do, because we're going to play Simon Says to see if you're any good at obeying commands. So have you all played Simon Says?
Yes.
Anybody not played Simon Says? So the idea is that I will say, Simon Says, touch your head with your right hand and you do it. Touch your head with your left hand and you do it. Well, no, you don't do it, do you? You have to only move if I say, Simon says. Okay, so you have to listen carefully to the command. So Simon says, touch your shoulder. Come on then, let's see you do it. Simon says, touch your knee. Simon says, touch your nose. Touch your ear. Oh, did it. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, cross your arms. Uncross your arms. Oh,
I saw you under.
See, it's about obeying commands. Right, we stopped that one. Huh? Well done, everybody. It's about obeying commands. And Jesus recognized his authority. Sorry, the centurion recognized Jesus' authority. When the man said, go, he says, he had authority himself. So if he knew that, he'd say to one of his officers or one of his soldiers, his legionnaires, go here, do this, do that. He knew that they would do it. And there was a very good reason that they would do it, because centurions weren't actually probably well known for being particularly nice people. However, we read in this that this was a man who obviously cared about people around him. But his soldiers that worked for him would have known that if he said, do this, they would have done it without question. And in fact, he said to Jesus, all you need to do is say the word. He recognized that Jesus' command was powerful. And perhaps he'd heard some of the things that Jesus had said previously about himself. Because the words are powerful. If we go to the next slide. Words are powerful. And maybe he'd heard some of the things Jesus had said. And in Romans 10 it says, faith comes from hearing the message and is heard through the word of Christ. Perhaps he'd listened to Christ speaking in other parts of Capernaum or in other parts of the region. Or his servants had told him about this Jesus. So, who did Jesus claim to be? Who did he say he was? Well, we read that he says, I am the bread of life. He also said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He also said, I and the Father are one. And another verse that he said is, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It was very clear to the religious leaders of the time who Jesus was saying he was. And it made them quite cross. It obviously inspired the centurion and made him realise that this was not just an ordinary man. This Jesus was somebody special, somebody from God. I'm going to ask you just to have a look at a video clip here. This is a short clip from the Alpha Course. And Nikki Gumbel talks about who Jesus is. So we're just going to watch this for a second. Jesus was a great teacher, but that authority that he had as a teacher came from who he was and who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he the Son of God, or do you just think he's a good teacher, a good man? And do you recognise your position before him? The centurion recognised that when he came to Jesus, he was a man with authority that he respected and he came to for help. Do you recognise your position? The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason Jesus came into this world wasn't just to come and heal a few people's lives. The real purpose for Jesus coming into this world was to deal with the disease of sin. The spiritual disease. Spiritual death. And it was on the cross that he dealt with that. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And Jesus took that punishment. He took our judgment. He took on him the condemnation that we deserve so that we might be free, that we might be made new, that we might be free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. Jesus said, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He came to save the world. And he came with authority and power. And if we look at Ephesians 2, it tells us why he came. Because of his great love for us. His love for you. His love for me. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace, something that we haven't deserved, it's by grace that we have been saved. And God raised up Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Just in the same way, the centurion couldn't boast and say, look what a good man I've been. It was his faith that God responded to. And God responds to our faith and our trust in him. The centurion recognized his authority as the Son of God. Have you recognized Jesus for who he truly is? He's your Savior. And for each one of us, his death, his resurrection provides us with a new start, an opportunity for a new start, a new day, a new beginning. The Bible teaches us that when we come to Christ, we're a new creation. Have you recognized Jesus for who he is? Have you put your faith, have you put your trust in the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you.